you have to run slow. Any single person that tells me that they've tried running, or I can't really stick to it, or I come in and out, or they just have this horrible relationship with running, they just feel like their lungs are being ripped out of their chest. Girlfriend, it ain't a sprint.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the Rachel J podcast. We're talking all things wellness and lifestyle to help you do life better. I'm your host, Rachel J. This week, we are picking it up from last week's part one. So we're going into part two with my conversation with Katie Martin. She is a sweat trainer and the author of the Kitchen series. It's such a great chat. So we had to split it into two parts. So let's get into part two. Now, let's come back to running because I know you're very excited about this. You're into running and I feel like the marathon thing you weren't doing when we were talking last time. So this is a new thing. And I do feel people either have a love or hate relationship with running. They either love it or they hate it. And I know for me, I go through stages of running. So I'll be into it if I'm training for something specific or if I'm doing something that needs that cardio fitness. But if not, then I'm not really into it. But I want to know what your suggestions are for people who are just getting into their running, because you've started your journey. You've done, like you were saying, marathon last year, another one this year. Yes. Tell us what your tips are for people who want to get into running, who are thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do that, but I do want to do it, but it looks hard.
Okay. So tried and tested. When we were speaking on our last podcast, I clearly remember saying to multiple friends, anyone that runs over 10K is stupid. They're just stupid. I don't get them. They're not my people. You go run. I'm good over here. But I've eaten my words, a little bit of humble pie, and I'm going to sit here right now and tell you my tried and tested facts for getting into running, because I too, literally 2 years ago, was in that exact same position, that A, you have to run slow. Any single person that tells me that they've tried running, or I can't really stick to it, or I come in and out, or they just have this horrible relationship with running, they just feel like their lungs are being ripped out of their chest. Girlfriend, it ain't a sprint. Running has to be something you can sustain, right? So when you go for a run, the aim of the game is to hold a conversation the entire time. Most of my runs I finish at the moment, like my long runs, when they're the ones I'm really getting up my fitness, I'm running so slow. And I finish my run, I tick my watch off, and I just walk out of the last stride and I can chat to someone straight away. I'm not like hands and knees, oh my God, having an out-of-body experience. Like, you can work up to that when in 18 months, if you want to work on your speed a little bit, or you might want to add some intervals in, but that is totally unnecessary for the average person wanting to run. That is purely optional. If you were just trying to get into running, set yourself a goal. Think about the number that you want to run. Say it's 5, cut it in half. Aim for 2.5 and run as slow as you physically can to the point where you enjoy it. If you run slow enough, you can run for a very long time. Yeah. Anyway, I don't care what your fitness levels is. So if you're finding it hard and you're out on that run, if you think in your head, could I run slower right now? If the answer is yes, run slower. Just keep running as slow as possible, because not only will that allow you to build a better relationship with running, and your body doesn't recognize that this like 10 out of 10 really, really hard form of exercise. It's a doable thing that you can do on a day when you're a bit tired, you kind of feel like doing something, but not a lot. You can go do just an easy jog. But also, and this is where the science comes into it, that is actually where you build your aerobic foundation. Now, aerobic is your slow, steady state kind of cardio. You will get the most amount of results and actually progress your fitness the fastest if you stick in what we call our zone 2. Now, our zone, we have 5 zones of our heart rate, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 being the highest. Zone 2 for most people is around about anything under 145, 150 beats per minute. If you have an Apple Watch or any sort of smartwatch, it actually can help you with that now. But you want to stick in that zone 2 for the first 6 months of your running journey, easily. And then you'll go for a slightly faster run. Your heart rate is lower. It doesn't feel hard and you can run for way longer, way faster. And you're like, whoa, this progresses me. Also, it teaches your body when you run in zone 2 to churn through stored fat for energy opposed to turning to your muscle. So a lot of people that go go, oh, but I don't want to lose my gains from the gym. I hear you. But if you stick in that zone two, it is low enough intensity that it doesn't hit your muscles for energy. Generally speaking, it sticks and it teaches your body to use the stored fat as its preferred energy source.
I love all those tips. That's so great. And has anybody listening heard to run slower as a tip for running? I love that.
I swear I'm not saying that because it's just like a bit of a buzzword at the moment. Like, run slow. Like, there's genuine science behind it. It's not just so you feel really good when you finish a run. I mean, I actually think that is the most important fact, because the more you can positively associate running and your body as one and as a whole, you will continue to do something. Like us as humans, we will continue to do things that make us feel good and feel that we can do with ease. We don't usually choose the path of greatest resistance. So making running something in your head that's like a walk, where you're just like, oh, I can just throw my shoes on. It doesn't have to be anything. And anything is better than nothing. If you just go out for a 10-minute jog, that is still 10 minutes more than not going out at all.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And I feel like you're so right. We need to anchor in positive associations with the thing that we want to do, because then we're more likely to go and do it. Plus your body will get used to it as you do it more. And so just to start really slow. I love that so much. There's one thing that has happened in your journey more recently that I've seen, which is that you were injured.
Yes.
And so that obviously hampered your training a little bit. Tell us about your comeback and how you started to come back from injury, because I think this is something that a lot of people can relate to, whether they're injured or whether they're ill.
Yeah.
How do we come back to it? Because that's another thing. Obviously, when you have time off, your normal training schedule, your body shifts and changes. So what are your suggestions for someone who is either returning to training after being injured or coming back from illness?
So this is a really interesting one, and one that I do love to delve into, because I fell off the horse. So this injury occurred to me in my lower back at the end of 2018. I was at one of my ex-boyfriend's farms, and I got on the back of a racehorse, an ex-racehorse, and it took off. And I fell off, and the first bit of impact in my body was I flipped over the front. And the first bit of contact was my right side of my pelvis. And I have had issues since 2018 with it ongoing. And I've been faced with like being this far away from needing surgery when I was in my early 20s. I've had weeks where I've spent in bed, debilitating pain. Like, it has been a journey, to say the least. So I have definitely gone through it with learning how to deal with not being able to exercise, which is what my biggest outlet and one of my biggest passions and hobbies in life, and having to really sit with that just like horrible feeling of not being able to do whatever you want to do. I've learned that nothing is forever, and pain and injury and illness is always temporary in most cases, and beating yourself up, being hard on yourself, being negative about it, sure, have a moment, but that's not going to speed up your recovery. It's actually going to make it harder. It's actually proven that when you have a poor mindset and you're negative and down on yourself, it prolongs that progression of your injury or illness. And I know it's easier said than done, but I've been through it and I've done this and I've relapsed with my back so many times. I can say being down on yourself about it doesn't help. It actually only makes it worse. So I found other outlets like saunering really helps, because I can still get that feeling of a sweat. My heart rate is still elevated, but it's actually helping my recovery, but it's not putting any extra stress on my body or joints. And it does provide me a lot of pain relief when my back does flare up. Walking for me, that was something I was able to do right throughout my injury, bar a couple of days, and that I never used to enjoy walking, and now I do. And kind of just being like, yeah, this is shit. Like, and just calling your friends and being like, hey, I'm really down. Like, usually we'd go for a walk in the afternoon. Can we just have dinner? Like, I still need that social interaction, and finding things like other outlets. Maybe that's creative, like painting or drawing or getting into meditating. Like, I got into meditating for a bit. I'm not very good at it, but I tried it. I found sauna and ice baths for me were my replacement for exercise during that time.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But yeah, so recently I just had to get my back re-injected, which I have to do every 6 to 8-ish months, depending on how much stress I'm putting on my body. And it required me to be doing zero. And I mean, I had to fight with my doctor to even let me go to work as a PT. But I wasn't allowed to lift a single weight. I couldn't even pull pots out of my cupboard to cook dinner. I had to get a friend of mine to do that because it was too heavy. Like, I have to be very careful with it. But again, I know if I just do the right thing for those 3 weeks where I've been told this is what you're allowed to do and this is what you're not allowed to do. I mean, on the weekend I ran for an hour and 20 minutes with zero pain and no issues at all. But yeah. I just know, okay, every couple of, you know, once a year or twice a year, I just have to have a few weeks off. And you know, my body feels better for it. I went away on a holiday with one of my girlfriends for the last week of it. And we're in the Philippines. It's feeling amazing. And I was like, there was no pressure to exercise. I could just be on holidays. I was like, yeah, great. I can't even exercise at the moment. I'm going to sit. And I will say, I didn't stop what I was eating. I didn't cut my food in half. I didn't start weighing my food. One hot day does not make it summer. One or two missed weeks of training is not going to unravel years and years and years of training and hard work. Mm. It's just not. So, and that I'm saying all of this with such maturity and experience, and I was not this confident about it and not this wise about it the first, you know, time I had to take time off training. But I've learned that it's never temporary. It's never forever. It's only temporary. And you can either choose to wake up and find the positives in the day and find other things to do. And there's other things. It's like exercise doesn't define my life. It's a massive part of my life, but there's so much more to me than just that. So focusing on that for a couple of weeks is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Cause I feel like all of that is really focusing on your mind and what you're focusing mm-hmm. on and shifting a perspective around it, which I really love. And I so agree with you as well. Sitting in the space of, I guess, being like, oh, you know, I can't do this and being all down. I mean, and I feel like, yes, have a moment because obviously mm-hmm. there are things going on, but I love that positive attitude towards just finding the positives in that yeah. space. Like you said, you went away, you got to have a little bit of a rest and enjoy the Philippines, ate all the good food.
Extra sleep. Like I sleep is something I'm really trying to work on this year. So I got some extra sleep and it allows me to check in with my mind a little bit more and be like, okay, now I've actually got time to sit and like think, how is that feeling? And the other thing I would say is like when you come back to training, because that's another really big question I get is like, do you just jump straight back in where you left off? Absolutely not. That is a recipe for disaster. That is how you will relapse and become injured again because, yeah, I had taken 3 weeks off, which isn't a lot of time, but with where I was at in my marathon training, it was enough time that I didn't want to go straight back into where I left off. So the first week back, I did one strength session, one Pilates, and a few light jogs. And that's probably to the average, like that sounds like a lot, but compared to my usual training regime, it's not. And I just eased my way into it for the first week to the point where I was like, that was a bit easy. I feel like I could have done more. And then that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week just gone, my training picked back up again. And I was like, I feel so good. Like I feel I've not had one niggle of pain. I don't have one issue with my back. I feel so great. And now I'm on the home straight to the marathon. It's less than 3 months away. And I'm so ready. Like my body had a break that it needed and I've eased my way back into it and I'm feeling great.
Amazing. Love that. And so tell me about the marathon because, again, we didn't talk about marathon running last time. So what has your marathon training been like or what is it going to be like in the lead up to this marathon? So 3 months away, will you start to increase your Ks every week? What does your training look like right now?
Okay, so on a Monday, which is today, so after we get off this beautiful podcast, I've got a recovery jog and today's recovery jog is 45 minutes, which is a decent run if you're just running, but I need to get Ks on my legs. So 45-minute jog, super easy. That zone two I was just talking about. So this is purely working on my aerobic foundation just to spin my legs over. And then on a Tuesday, I do a speed session, and that's, again, working on my speed, and that goes for roughly an hour. And then Wednesdays, I do nothing. That is, like, I don't even really go for a walk. Like, I just do life. I work and I go to the grocery store and like, you know, things like that. But
yeah.
Or I'll go do Pilates, but I take that just week by week, depending how I'm feeling, where I'm up to in my cycle as well. Thursday, I have a tempo session, which is working on like longer chunks of elevated exertion. And then Friday, again, Pilates, gym, rest. I'm still kind of finding my groove again post-injection and just seeing how my body is adapting. And then Saturdays, I have my long run. And this is where each week that will start to really increase. So last weekend, or just gone a few days ago, I did an hour 20. And then this weekend will be an hour 30. And then it starts to significantly increase. I'm not so sure I've changed coaches, but last year, my longest run I did prior to the marathon was a 32K run. So that was about 3 hours I was out for. And I loved it. Like, I think I loved my Saturday mornings, long runs, my favorite time of day. Like, I was foregoing dinner plans and drinking and all those things. I was like, all I have to do is eat my sushi on a Friday night so I get all my carbs in so I can run on my Saturday morning. And people go, oh, run with you. Like, let's go for a run. Like, I'm getting to my run. I'm like, no. This is my me time. My AirPods are going in. I'm shoving my gels in my bra. I'm putting on my sunnies. Like, no one is talking to me. I was like, I'm going to be a runner. I'm a track star. Like, I am fully channeling every bit of me as a runner right now. And I loved it. Like, I got to know shoes and what shoes felt good on my body and what, like, I'm putting Vaso on my, like, armpit so I wouldn't chafe. And I had, like, a full routine and what I would eat. And I loved it. And I honestly, now looking back on it, it's because it got me into a flow state. So it was, like, that low, steady running. And I don't meditate. But I did find that that was my form of meditation because I'd be out for about 3 hours or like anywhere from 2 to 3 hours on those Saturdays. And I've got my headphones in. I couldn't even tell you really what song was playing. And I think because running is so monotonous, like you're not having to think about, oh, I need to go pick up that barbell and I need to put a towel down over there. And then what exercise am I doing next? It's just like one foot in front of the other. And then, oh, okay, 25 minutes has passed. I need another gel. Like that, the gel part was probably the thing. And then I loved it. So my K's will definitely start to increase in the lead up and then there'll be a slight taper for the last 2 weeks leading up to the marathon just to give my muscles time to recover. And then
you're on
2.2 kilometers.
Woo, it's such a long way. I feel like that's a marathon is just 42.2, isn't it? Yeah.
Amazing.
But you know what I love? I love to hear that it gets you into that meditative state. I feel like that's what so many people who are runners, that's what they love about it. They love that you just get into this flow where your mind literally just switches off and you're just focused on, I mean, your body knows what to do. You're running and then you're just breathing and it's just really nice. It's like, I love that you've associated that with your me time.
Yeah.
That's like self-care in a way, you know?
It is. And it's interesting because I fully could switch off and I knew week by week with a good program, like any kind of training program, it should be progressive. And I knew my body was capable of doing it. Like each week, yes, I was running a little bit further. And so I was like, oh, this is exciting. Like I'm going to run another couple of K. And this every Saturday was my longest run ever. So my first, like last year training for my marathon it still is enjoyable. It was so fulfilling because I was like accomplishing a new goal every week. But I knew I could do it. Like I knew I had the fitness to do it because I was like, it's only an extra K. Like it's only an extra 2K. There's only 5 or 10 more minutes. Like if I've run 2.5 hours, what's another 5, 10 minutes? Like it's nothing, right? So you just keep building on it. And I knew I could do it. It wasn't about that. I was running slowly. So I wasn't like, oh my God, this hurts so much. Like my lungs are about to explode. I was like, I can keep going. I mean, a few of those really long runs, like the 28K and the 32K I did, I was like, by the end of it, I was like, my legs, my body was just getting used to it. I was like, okay, my legs and that's hurting and I need some water. I feel dehydrated and, you know, usual symptoms from running for 3 hours. But it was just so enjoyable because it didn't even feel like exercise. Like I wasn't going out to earn my breakfast. I was going out to prove to myself that I could do something that I previously couldn't. And that was why
that's fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. You set yourself a goal and you just slowly watch yourself progress through to meeting that goal.
I was so proud of myself. And like, that's truly why I did the marathon. So I originally set out to do a half because I also the furthest I've ever run was 15 kilometers and a half marathon is 21. And I was like, okay, that's another 6K. And then as I started training, about a few months into my training block, I was like, oh my gosh, this Saturday I have to run a half marathon distance, but just in training. And I was chatting to my boyfriend at the time about it. And he, knowing my personality, was like, trust me, you're going to do a marathon. And he'd run a bunch of marathons. I was like, I'm never going to run a marathon. So dumb. And then literally I was like, yes, yes, I think I'm running a marathon. Because I needed it. The whole point was to set out to do something I never thought I could do. And doing a half marathon in my training just a few months in, I was like, well, I'm not going to feel that excited about it on the day. And I'm so glad I did sign up for the full marathon and committed to that. But I also want to preface this and a bit of a disclaimer that it is also no easy feat. Like, there were people passing out left, right, and center in the last 10 kilometers of the marathon. I actually believe one guy passed away. Another one ended up in ICU. I'm saying this because I know running is such a big thing at the moment, but it is a lot on your body. And if I had any signs throughout my training or on the day that my body was not coping, I would have no issue in throwing my hands up and being like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Like, this is not it. My body is way too important to me than my ego about running a marathon or telling people that I'm doing it or an Instagram reel about telling people that I'm going for a run. Like, my body first and foremost, always. And I just want people to, if you're listening to this and being like, yeah, I actually am feeling a bit of weird pain or I'm not sure if it's for me, don't go run a marathon. Go run 5-10K for sure. But it is. And also, if you're you're a beginner, the pros run it in 2 hours, 2 hours 30. That's not that long to be on your feet with an elevated heart rate. It's still extended. But if you're a beginner and you're out for 5.5 hours,
yeah,
that is a long time on your body. That is a long time for your body to have elevated heart rate, pressure on your joints. You have to make sure you're fueling properly. And a lot of people don't fuel properly. So I want to red tape this whole segment about running that you go to a doctor first, go get a tick off, because it can be very, very serious.
Yeah, it can be very high impact for the body. And especially if you're new to running, just to make sure that you've got the right support around you if you are training for something like that, and make sure you do it in a progressive way as well, not hit your body so hard.
I was new to long distance running, but I have been in the gym since I was 15. I ran all through high school. I've been around running a lot. My dad is a phenomenal runner. It wasn't totally new to me, I should say. But kind of distance was, but running, and I had the strength from, because I do my strength and sculpt program religiously. I had the strength around my knees, my hips, all my joints to look after them. It was just gradually each week building up a longer distance, but I also wasn't trying to build strength at the same time and maybe, work on my body composition so it allowed me to run comfortably and freely. So there's just, a few things I would say. I know this all sounds very fun and exciting and great, but you need to look after your health first.
Yeah, and decide on what your goal is and kind of, you're saying, if you're trying to build in the gym, you're not going to be training for a marathon as well. But your weight training will support your marathon training. So you've got to, think about what you want to do with your fitness and build up to it, I guess, is the best way to put it. Amazing. I love this journey and I'm so excited to see how you go in the marathon in a few months.
Thank
you. We'll all be watching you on Instagram. So I've got the final three questions for you, Katie. What drives you?
The fear of failure. Honestly, it is something I'm really working on because I don't want that to be my driving thing, because I think failing is inevitable and important in your journey. But if I'm being fully honest, it is the fear of failing that drives me. And it's something, like I said, I'm trying to work on and not make it my driving factor, but honestly it is.
Yeah. So you want to not fail, essentially, is kind of the whole point of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Your whole podcast on that, and it's just a bit of a mic drop on that one. But the fear of failure, the fear of not being better than I was yesterday, the fear of me thinking, wow, I was so driven at one stage in my life and right now I feel like I'm just in stagnant water, or I don't know, just that idea that I'm not being a bit better every day. And I think that's definitely a result of hustle culture and always feeling like some accomplishments are not enough, even when they are, and being able to sit in the moment and be like, no, you're doing well. You're exactly where you want to be. But the fear of failure is definitely what drives me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do feel like a lot of people will be able to relate to that. I know we all have at some point had a fear of failure, but one good thing is actually in a way, if you look at it, you're using it as a driver to propel you forward. As long as it's not detrimental to your mental and emotional health, which wouldn't be good. But, you know, I think that's something that we can all relate to. We've all had that moment where we're scared to fail. So I think that just makes you very human.
Yes.
The next question is, if there is one most impactful thing that you could tell your younger self, what would that be?
Everything works out exactly how it's supposed to. And don't put so much pressure on yourself to have it all sorted out. And I was like, when I was younger, I used to think I was so old, and I'm still not even old. But now looking back, and I was like, you were really not old. Like, you were a baby, like, just enjoy being young. And nothing's ever as big as you think it is. And nothing is like, nothing defines you or what you think is like the biggest thing in your life right now. Like, it will pass. So just take a chill pill pretty much.
Love that. Love that so much. Now, my final question for you is, what is the biggest lesson you have learned in your life so far?
God, two things come to mind.
Shoot.
Really do your due diligence. Like, if I have my time over with my activewear, again, I don't want to live with regret, and I don't regret it because it really taught me so much and opened my eyes. And I mean, no one could have predicted COVID and shipping and that whole industry to turn on its head the way that it did. But I wish I did do my due diligence just a little bit more. I like to think I'm quite calculated with my decisions I make in business, and that for me felt a little bit reckless. I feel like a lot of it was out of my control, but at the same time, I think some things could have been navigated a bit better if I had been a bit more proactive about it. The other thing is that your mother's always right. You know, I just like, she, and I mean, it may not be your mother, it might be anyone in your life that you have, that person that is just forever in your corner, forever only wants the best for you. And even if at the time the feedback they're giving you or the advice they're giving you is maybe not what you want to hear, I know from my mom personally, to me, it is completely unwavering love and support, and comes from the best place possible. And the older I get, the more I realize like the advice she was giving me when I was younger was true and was right. So whoever that person is in your life, just know that even if it's not what you want to hear at the time, they're there for you, and they're coming into bat for you when things get hairy. And it's good to know that you've just got that one person.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. I think your mum would be, I think the last time we spoke and I asked you this question, you had a little piece of advice from your mum, I think was the answer.
Yeah, my advice my mum always give, there's two pieces of advice my mum has always given me, and it's, if you don't back yourself, no one else will. And that is just so true. And the worst they can say is no.
No,
so
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the worst they can say is no. And I do, honestly, if someone was to say, what motto do you live by in life? Or is there one like overarching thing that you always like lean back on? It is, the worst they can say is no. Like, if you put yourself out there, so many opportunities for me and so many things in life have happened because I've just asked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, can I do this? Well, can I do that? Or like, what about me in this position? Or what about that? And people are like, okay.
Sure. Yeah.
And the thing is, and then if they say no, you're like, okay, well, I'm still in the exact same position I was in 10 seconds ago before I asked that question.
Yeah, 100%. I love that so much. I love it so much. Thank you so much for this chat. I have loved chatting to you. You know what I feel like? Because we've chatted before, I feel like we're watching your journey and just how you've grown over the last couple of years. Because I do feel, as we all do, right? We all grow through life. We learn different things. And I feel like, yeah, it's like a different version of Katie.
And I feel like I've grown so much and so much has changed. And I think when we spoke last, I was really battling with all the, like, my activewear stuff, and I was just like in a completely different stage in my life. And now I've created such an incredible balance with my work schedule, and I'm training for a goal that I like, I love, and it's just, life's good at the moment. I'm eating dairy.
Yeah, I know. That's goat's cheese. I mean, come on.
Like, what else could be better? I have my sheep yogurt this morning and I'm beaming from ear to ear.
I love that so much. Well, yeah, it's been so amazing to chat to you again and again. Like I just said, it's been so great because I feel like, yeah, we're seeing you grow and it's great to be along your journey and check in with you at these little points.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on again. I just love chatting to you.
Love chatting to you too. Now, where can people go to find all your amazing work and your sweat programs? Where can they go?
Okay, so my Instagram is the best place to turn to. So that is at @KatieMMartin_. And then from there, you will have all my links to my Gut Plus, my sweat programs, access to all my running content, and many more fun things. Oh, and my cookbook.
Yes,
the kitchen as well. Series. So yeah, that's all linked very clearly on my Instagram. So that is where I would head to.
Amazing. So we're going to pop all of those links up in the show notes, guys. So make sure you check it out so you can get all the bits and pieces. And also the At Health announcement will come out for whatever it is that you're going to...
I'm going to say 2 months. I'm not going to give you an exact date because we're still working towards that. But in the next 2 months, there will be something else on the shelf.
It's coming. It's coming. So stay tuned for that announcement, guys. We're going to pop it up in the show notes. Tell us what you loved and learned from this episode by leaving a rating and review over at Apple Podcasts. Screenshot this episode, tag us, and share it to your socials. Thank you again, Katie, for joining me on the show. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Rachel J Podcast.